Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
I am your host, Stassi Schroeder. Welcome to Tell Me Lies, the official podcast.
What's the most unhinged thing of season 3?
Steven, because he's so evil.
I do think he is misunderstood.
You see everyone face consequences.
It's intoxicating.
The writers just know how to trick you.
There's always a twist in this show.
It's nothing you would expect.
Tell Me Lies, the official podcast, January 6th, and stream the new season of Tell Me Lies January 13th on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+.
Have I been perfect in this? God dang no. I wasn't perfect as a teacher. I wasn't perfect as a coach. I wasn't perfect as a soldier, but I was pretty damn good at all those things. Game's over for him now. It was all me. I was the bad guy or whatever. Well, put up or shut up now and tell us what you're going to do to make this state better. Answer these tough questions. Quit hiding behind this and expect for the next 11 months for me to ride you like you've never been ridden.
Right. And that, of course, is the worst governor in the country, Governor Tim Walz, who the next day would be caught in a scandal, making everything worse a controversial incident when a 37-year-old was shot dead by ICE agents, who he's been spending all of his time vilifying. What he was referring to there was the fact is the corruption allegations, which are all but proven. 80 people have been convicted. It cost the federal government billions of dollars in order to fund all the social programs that are being ripped off, mostly by the Somali community. And he says, well, Donald Trump wants to come after me. And some of his phraseology I know stands out because Adam Hunter's here, outstanding comedian, writer for Gutfeld. Tonight will be on Gutfeld playing himself. Adam, we thought that if we just gave you a little about Governor Tim Walz, things would come into your mind.
I mean, Tim Walz, I'm happy he actually stepped down. I mean, he had 9 billion reasons to.
Yes. You know? It could get bigger.
Yeah. And then when he did, they actually lowered the flag on pirate ships in Somalia. I don't know if you know this. But right. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand, like, Minnesota between Walz and Omar and Jacob. Like, what happened to the good old days when they had real honest people like Jesse the Body Ventura? Yeah. And Stuart Smiley, it's crazy what's going on in Minnesota.
Don't they have standards? Jesse Ventura is out of his mind. I mean, and by the way, he used to just hide. They say he used to just hide in his basement.
But he's looking good compared to these guys.
Oh yeah, I know.
He's JFK. It is unbelievable. I mean, I think when Tim Walz dropped out, they actually had tampons at half string.
Well,
that was a big thing.
An interesting tribute.
Yeah,
but he hasn't really stepped down. We shouldn't mislead the audience, Adam. He's just saying he's not running for re-election. I think he eventually is going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he only has what a year left. I was actually, as a comic, I was kind of hoping he would stay because he was going to run against Mike Lindell.
Yes.
So it was going to be like my pillow versus my tampons,
right?
Which would be great. And then he said Ilhan Omar. It might have been him versus Omar, which would be insane versus incest.
Right.
So it was like it was all kinds of great things for comedy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I think Tim Walz is. It's crazy because when he said he wasn't running. Gavin Newsom said he actually. I wrote it down. He said he's a man of character. Period. But what he meant to say was he's a man of character on his period.
Right. Came off wrong.
There was a couple typos there. But yeah, I don't understand. It all starts from the top. You know, if like the top is corrupt, everything else falls. And you have guys, I mean, how do you not see? Why is it easier to get a dictator out of Venezuela than it is to find one kid in a Somalian daycare center?
No idea.
I know. And by the way, famously it was misspelled, the Quality Learing Center.
Yeah, right, because it should have been Quality Stealing Center. Right. They were actually kind of right. Stealing.
So it was really wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong twice.
So Adam, on top of that, yesterday they announced they're closing. Do you have any idea why?
Oh, the daycare center?
It's closing. Might be on your list for Gutfeld tonight.
They didn't have one parent complain. you would think that, like, perfect attendance, which was zero. That's the thing. And then Hilton wouldn't let ICE agents stay at the Hilton.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, there's all kinds of vacancies at the daycare center. You could have just put all those people there.
Yes.
You just got to figure it out.
And healthcare, too. Adam, the other thing is comedy is kind of under... Well, I think it's fascinating, actually. A lot of stories, even going to be on the Sunday show this week, about what's happening in comedy. And Conan O'Brien, who leans left, we know that, more than leans, he's out there. But when it comes to comedy, he does not want any part of the anti-Trump stuff. Listen to what he said.
Some comics go the route of, I'm going to just say F Trump all the time, or that's their comedy. And I think, well, now a little bit you're being co-opted because you're so angry. You've been lulled, it's like a siren leading you into the rocks. You've been lulled into just saying F Trump, F Trump, F Trump, screw this guy. And I think you've now put down your best weapon, which is being funny, and you've exchanged it for anger.
Is he 100% right?
He is right. I mean, I had an acting teacher one time that would always say, like, frustration is funny, but anger isn't. And I think that's it. When someone's frustrated, it's funny. You're like, you're going to laugh at somebody kind of, you know, flabbergasted. But when they're angry, you're just like, and I have to remember that sometimes also, like on stage and, you know, whether or not, because no one wants to be yelled at. No one wants to be lectured. But at the same time, you know, like Lewis Black was always like a frustrated comedian. Yeah. That was funny. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, Don Rickles, these are like frustrated people that were, even Seinfeld, was frustrated. But when people are just screaming at you, unless you're Sam Kinison, you really can't pull it off.
But he's talking about all the late night guys, and he used to do that. Now, knowing that, you know, he's way out there to the left on his beliefs, and who cares? I don't, because he doesn't take it to his job. Why is that so hard?
Well, the thing about like why Gutfeld is, I mean, you think about like Gutfeld has probably a third, a fourth, like a tenth of the writers and budget, probably a hundredth of the budget of Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert. And we win every night. Like they win every night by like, it's not even close. And it's a lot of times it's like these rules all of a sudden started becoming in comedy. I don't know who made the rules, but they're like, you can't punch down, right? And they go, which means like you can't make fun of people who are, let's say, doing worse than you. First of all, who decided someone's down? But like, I don't think people that want to be known as, oh, I'm down, you can't make fun of me. I've done comedy for 25 years, and it's always the person in the room that, like, people, no one wants to not be included. So Greg makes fun of everybody. He goes, everyone's fair game, everyone. And the thing about, like, what Colbert and them is, they're like, oh, well, you can't make fun of minorities, and you can't make fun of fat people, and you can't make fun of disabilities, you can't, people with disabilities, you can't make fun of this, you can't make fun of that, you can't, poor people, they had all these rules, where the only person you could make fun of is Donald Trump. Literally one person.
One person left.
So now you have a 10-minute monologue every single night about the same person, and eventually people are like, okay, either we get it, or it's just, this is just boring to me. And I think that's what Conan is saying, is like, you don't want to like all of a sudden take away all your targets, which everyone should be a target, every single person.
And it just relaxes people. You go after Walls and you go after Trump, game on.
Yeah.
That's what Leno did.
100%. And that's why Leno was so much better. It's like these people, they started making all these rules. And the thing is, they started speaking for other people. They're like, oh, you can't make fun of black people. And black people are like, wait, what? It was not the black people saying you can't make fun of black people. It was like the super liberal left. And I learned as a comic, you could never be, because I'm a pretty liberal guy. Like, I'm a liberal person. I really don't care what you do. You know, I'm not less, my politics are, I wouldn't say I'm a leftist, but I'm liberal as far as like, you want to go be gay, you want to do this, you want to be trans, do whatever you want. Not if you're a child, but if you're 18 and over, do whatever you want.
Right.
But you can't be liberal enough. It just keeps going and going. That left spectrum is like, it's like miles away.
So do you think it ends when Trump ends? Do you think like Jimmy Kimmel will go after?
No, because it didn't start with Trump. Yeah. It started like before Trump. I think these things all go in cycles, and I think somebody kind of breaks it. Like in the 80s, things became kind of PC, and then Dice Clay just was like the most offensive human being. And then there was a counteract to that. You know, I don't know. I don't think it ends with Trump, but I think everyone should be fair game. There are plenty of times that I don't like someone's joke. Like it's not offensive to me, but I'm just like, ugh. But I don't try to get the person fired, and I don't care. I just look away. I go, this is the next joke.
Right. You know? So Zoran Mamdani is mayor of New York City, and in a week, it's been pretty clear he's going to give you a lot of ammunition.
Oh, yeah.
Including making World Cup tickets. Of course, he's got nothing else to Well, affordable. Listen.
You know, I had a New Yorker the other day come up to me and ask me if there was any way I could help him get World Cup tickets, because he was saying that the cost that he saw for a game was $600, right? This is increasingly out of reach. We have made what used to be a working class game into a luxury experience. And there are too many for whom it doesn't matter where the World Cup is being played in the world, they know where they're going to watch it. It's TV. And we want to ensure that there are more experiences available to each and every New Yorker.
So he's going to make world. Was he going to buy the tickets and then resell them for less money?
I mean, look, maybe he wants everyone to get a good night's sleep.
Right.
Everyone always says, especially with my European friends, you got to go to a soccer game. You got to go to. So I think this is good if he makes it more affordable. But I think there's on the list of things he has to do, this should be so down there. I mean, this should not even, like, this is not what you should be talking about. You know, like, if you want to make universal child care free for New York, great. That's actually the one of the things I actually like it. Work on that. You know, let's work on that, because right now you said you were going to make transportation free, and within a week, subway prices went up.
Right.
Yeah,
it went up over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, what is this? To get people on the bus? Like, so I don't think anything he says that he's going to do, he's going to be able to do. And I think that's only going to make people more cynical. You know, it's like, he's the guy that promises all this stuff, and I don't think he's going to deliver any of it.
I hear you. Who's on your panel tonight?
It's me, Michelle Tafoya, who I think is running for.
Is she going to announce this?
I don't know. It was in the New York Post like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that she was thinking about.
Yeah. She's already learning Somali.
Oh, she's Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh,
Minnesota.
Wow.
And then of course Tyrus and Kat and Greg and super excited about that.
So I want to play some of the fireworks that took place yesterday. So you know that the Oversight Committee, their goal is to find out about the corruption in Minnesota, right? So, as usual, Democrats get a chance to talk. They are on the panel. They just have one less person. So I want to hear what they decide to focus on. Would it be on the health care fraud? Would it be on the child care fraud? Or will they just decide to do something else? I want you to hear different Democrats get off the topic. First off, here's Summer Lee. Decides to go after the chairman. Cut 24.
Trump has attacked the oversight mechanisms within the federal government. He illegally fires 17 inspectors general and other key personnel. He goes after whistleblowers and he tries to roll back their protections. He routinely ignores the rampant corruption within his own administration.
Ms. Lee, the IGs are hired to identify fraud. They haven't identified fraud. The IGs have failed. But anyway,
all have failed.
No,
you all continue to fail. We've done nothing. You've had the gavel, Mr. Comer. We barely do hearings on anything that actually affects change.
You
have power here, and yet you don't do anything.
You think he said they're helping the country?
No. I mean, it's $9 billion are missing.
Right.
Taxpayer money's missing. Trump did this. Trump did that. Okay, let's talk about the $9 billion that are missing. It's right. It was... $9 billion.
It was astounding.
All these people are paying taxes. Half their checks are coming out of half the money that they earn all day long is going to government. But $9 billion is missing. And well, Trump did this and Trump did that.
It gets worse. Cut 25.
Raise your hand if you oppose the pardon of George Santos.
Not playing this game.
It's not a game. It's real life. That means that you support this pardon of this corporation that frauded folks to the tune of $100 million.
Refusal to participate is not an expression.
Yesterday, reclaiming my time.
You know the rules of committee? One way or the other.
The rules of committee? This is my time.
I know that I am here as a member of the public.
Reclaiming my time, you were not Mr. Chair.
Okay, I can't.
Yeah.
It's making you stress.
Somebody's married to her. Somebody has to listen to this.
I don't know that for sure. Hey, Pete, could you look that up? Did anyone marry her?
What does George Santos have to do with this?
I don't know.
Like, George Santos has been pardoned. That's over.
And he's now on the panel. He's on Gutfeld sometimes.
Yeah, he's on Gutfeld. I mean, George Santos is George Santos. And he had a party, I guess, a Halloween party that everyone seemed to went to that Lauren Boebert couldn't get into. Or she got in, but her friends couldn't get into the party or something.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't.
Can you imagine he has a party that people want to go to. He just got out of prison.
Yeah.
He admitted he defrauded everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not a fan of George Santos and what he did because he was stealing from charities and allegedly. And when you're stealing from kids' charities, it's like, that's a different.
I don't think allegedly. I think that's why he went to jail.
That's a different kind of low. So, you know, as charming as he is, but what does this have to do with the $9 billion?
Yes.
Like, that is so frustrating. And it's all the people like on a. Anything that happens on Facebook, and it's both ways. I mean, something happens now when you're like, and then people on the right, well, Biden did this. Okay, but now, well, Trump did this. Well, now, can we just focus on what we have to do? This is like when I fight with my wife and she starts bringing up stuff from 5 years ago. Well, you missed my birthday or you weren't there on Valentine's Day. Okay, but what, you know, or pooping, sorry.
That would have been better. We're going to find out. I'm going to tell you what's on Adam Hunter's shirt when we get back. He's going to explain it. Also, she's been married since 2014. So you're right. Factually correct.
Yeah, somebody has to deal with that.
Back in a moment.
The average American spends more than $1,200 every year on prescription medications. UnitedHealth Group is changing that by capping out-of-pocket costs for more than 290 life-saving drugs and ensuring people get the best price on all their prescriptions. Last year alone, UnitedHealth Group saved people nearly $1 billion through price scanning and proactive alerts, and another $2.5 billion through 2024 on critical specialty medications. See how we're making prescriptions more affordable at UHG.com. Getting your prescription shouldn't be complicated. That's why UnitedHealth Group is eliminating up to 25% of reauthorizations for 180 medications that treat chronic conditions like high cholesterol, hypertension, and behavioral health. This will help keep patients on medications, reduce workload for physicians and pharmacists, and lower administrative costs. Discover how UnitedHealth Group is making healthcare simpler at UHG.com.
There is alcohol on these dietary guidelines, but the implication is don't have it for breakfast. Right? This should be something done a small amount with hopefully some kind of an event that might have alcohol added.
So this is kind of unique to have one of our member of the MAHA movement of Health and Human Services, Dr. Oz, say, look, I'm giving you a food pyramid and I'm telling you, you can have some drinks. Just keep it moderate because sometimes you need it for a social setting. Adam Hunter has no idea what it's like to drink in a social setting because no one hangs out with him.
100%.
Right?
None.
That yesterday, big announcement. This is normally 100 pages. They gave him 10 pages. Food pyramid, they said, was just exactly upside down.
Well, it was funny that, like, RFK Jr. was saying, like, oh, you know, the healthy fat and the protein. Because, you know, his diet consists of, like, bear and whale. And, like, you know, olive wing or, you know, ostrich wing and all kinds. So that was. But, yeah, I mean, they say a glass of wine isn't bad for you a couple days a week. That's what they say, like, one glass of wine.
They think two drinks a day. Do you think?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a big drinker. I almost never drink because I always tell myself at night I'm going to do something productive. I'm going to write the next best joke. And I know if I start drinking, there's no way of that happening.
But do you enjoy drinking?
Not really.
See, that's the key.
Yeah, not really.
But like, were you hanging out with the guys? Like, have a drink?
No. I got sent to a really like a reform boarding school for troubled kids when I was
really
13 years old. For 5 years I was there in Maine.
5 years?
5 years. I was the only eighth grader in the whole school. and then they it was like all these kids, it was great. It was called the Hyde School, and I highly recommend it. But it was one of those schools where like you couldn't lie, steal, cheat, drink, have sex. And then all the families that like alcoholics were there, a lot of alcoholic. And then I had to be in seminars all day long and talk about my problems. And I would see the after effects of alcoholism. And it's kind of scared me.
You got scared straight.
Yeah.
Permanently.
100%.
But they say it's good for a social setting. But I heard one of these doctors, one of these psychologists said, the one thing that's keeping kids out of bars is like they could just go online. And they said the one thing you miss is going to a bar, playing darts, whatever it is, and meeting other people, being in unscripted settings.
You know what? Like when I do comedy on cruise ships, you would go to the club afterwards, yeah, like the nightclub. The women are on a dance floor and they're twerking and they're getting down and they're on the, and the guys are hiding in the corner.
Yes.
And it's just people have, they're on their phone scrolling.
Because they don't want to take that risk of saying, hey, might you like me? But everyone likes Adam Hunt. We'll see you tonight.
Thank you.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.